Welcome everybody to B'nai Shurin's Base Medrash program, special initiative for Rosh Chodesh Elul. Please look out for the email to participate in a new program, 30 for 30, 30 minutes during Zman Elul, to devote time and take the shurim that are posted, to give a certain amount of time each day towards learning to Chodesh Elul. We have a special schus tonight to kick off the initiative, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. The first time I heard him was many years ago when he was a Rebbe in the high school at TABC, and besides the congregants of the shul, the room was filled with high school students. And so I came once, I came twice, and it was sort of like listening to a shiur. It was like a pipe of Torah Moshe Mesinai. Incorporates not only, you know, his chachma and his ability to transmit Torah, but just a purity and a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is contagious to everybody who sits in a shiur. It's been an unbelievable schus to been able to hear Shirim over the years and to have him as part of our community. It's a special schus for us, for the Base Motors program, for him to kick off this initiative in Rosh Chodesh Elul this year, to start a series of Shirim on Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah. The first shiur tonight will be followed by August 26th, September 2nd, and then the last year on the Thursday night, September 10th. The covered gutter for Moshe Tzvi Weinberg.
Thank you, Henry. It's just my parents who are both here. I guess I should start by apologizing. There's not enough Mar Makomo sheets to go around. I had no idea what to expect for tonight. And I was doing the photocopying on my own. Every source sheet was stapled with love. So if you were fortunate enough to get one, please share with someone next to you. And Baruch Hashem, it's so nice to see so many people coming out looking to be inspired in the month of Elul. I was asked to give a series of shiurim on Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva. And I think there's probably no musar work in the Sefer Yirah that's more classic than the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Just very, very briefly, Rabbeinu Yonah, of course, was one of the great Rishonim. He lived in Spain in the 1200s. Rabbeinu Yonah was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Minahar. He learned by his cousin a little bit as well. The cousin of Rabbeinu Yonah was the Ramban. He learned by the Ramban. And we have many of his writings. We have his writings on various Mesechtos. We have his writings on many areas of Shas. But in many regards, you could say that the most famous work of Rabbeinu Yonah is the one that we're going to study these next 4 weeks, and that is the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. It wasn't written specifically for the Yom Noran. It was written as a manual for tshuva to be used throughout the calendar year. And we'll see tonight, actually, we're going to speak about the importance of doing tshuva immediately after doing an Avera, whenever that may be. And some say that, in fact, he wrote it as a form of tshuva himself. We know that, unfortunately, there was a terrible burning of the Svarim of Shas that took place in the 1200s. And Rabbeinu Yonah understood that as a punishment from on high, a heavenly punishment for a burning that he was responsible for. And that was the burning of the writings of the Rambam. The writings of the Rambam, Maimonides was a very controversial figure in many regards in his time. And Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the people who spoke out against some of the areas of the writings of the Rambam which were more difficult to understand. And it actually led to the burning of the works of the Rambam in Paris in 1233. And years later, when there was a burning of the writings of Chazal, when Shas was burned, when the Gemaras were burnt in that same spot, Rabbeinu Yonah saw this as a heavenly punishment for, again, for his outspoken nature against the Rambam. And therefore he took it upon himself, at least this is how the story is told, to write a work that expresses tshuva. And that's where we led Rabbeinu Yonah to write the magnificent magnum opus, the Shari Tshuva. Again, for those who have the source sheets, please feel free to follow along. I apologize again for those who don't have. Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy this year nonetheless. If you look in the first source, the Yesod V'Shorash HaAvoda. The Yesod V'Shorash HaAvoda is also a classic work, obviously of a much later period. And Rav Alexander Ziskin writes in his Yesod V'Shorash HaAvodah in the Shar HaMayim, in the fourth parak, Uviyam Eilu HaNorah, in these days of Elul Rosh Hashanah leading up to Yom Kippur, Roy La'adam Lamad B'Limud HaMacherim, of all the many things that a person can learn, it would be worthwhile to take away some time from all of one's other limudim, v'yar be'limud sifrei yirayim, and to spend more time studying sifrei yirayim, sifrei musar. Take away a little time from your halacha learning, from your Tanakh learning, from your Gemara learning, whatever it is you usually learn. Make sure to steal away a few moments to focus on sifrei musar, sifrei yira, la'or libo el tshuva, to bring a person to awaken one's heart to tshuva. And again, while there are many Sifrei Yira and many Sifrei Musar that certainly would fit the description that the Yesod V'Shorash HaAvodah is describing, there is no work that's more classic in every sense than this work of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Shaarei Tshuva. This is the work that was written really for all of Klal Yisrael. In the Hebrew biography of the Chafetz Chaim, in the second of the sources, he quotes from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner says there are many, many different works, and each person responds in a different way. Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains, Sifrei Musar HaShonim Einam Shavim L'chol Nefesh. Not everyone responds to the same type of Musar Sefer. Look in the writings of the Baal HaTanya at the beginning, he describes this. Different people, different neshamas come from different places on high. And that means our neshamas respond differently. Some people like a work of, you know, really fiery language, and some people like something that's a little more gentle, a little more encouraging. There are many, many different types of Sifrei Musar. And Einam Shavim L'chol Nefesh. It's not equal by all people. For one person, maybe the work Reishis Chachma is fit. Right? I think Bezman Hazeh, Reishis Chachma is not really for anyone. Reishis Chachma speaks about the fires of Gehenna, and it speaks in a very intense and a very frightening language and a very frightening presentation. Other people might be drawn to the work, the Shevet Musar. Some people might enjoy, thank you, some people might, that's an old problem. It's been years since we've had these Thursday night shiur. I know it's not Thursday night, but I forgot about that. We still always have a watchman by the lights when they go out. Thank you. Thanks for helping me out. Chovas HaLevavos. Chovas HaLevavos, again, another classic work of Jewish philosophy. Mesilas Yesharim V'Chadomeh. Each person responds in a different way to a different type of sefer. But there's one sefer, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and again, it's quoted here in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim. There is one volume of writing that is Shavah L'chol Nefesh, that speaks to every Jew in any time period, any place, male or female, regardless of age, regardless of community, regardless of one's neshama and personal style in Avodas Hashem. There's a Sefer Echad Yeshno Shumatim L'chol Ish Yehudi, B'chol Azman U'B'chol HaTkufos, in all time periods, in all places, regardless of any distinction that might exist amongst Jews. Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, this Sefer will carry us until Mashiach's arrival. This is a Sefer of ethics for all of Klal Yisrael. Halahu Sefer Shaarei Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the work that we're going to study these next 4 weeks, the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner went on to explain why is that so? What made this such a universal work? You'll see, the little bit that we get to delve into the Sefer, you'll see that Rabbeinu Yonah touches on many themes in Halacha as well. He was writing, if you look in the Chafetz Chaim, for example, his famous work, Chafetz Chaim, on the laws of Lashon Hara, he quotes extensively from Rabbeinu Yonah's Shaarei Tshuva. Now, you'll say it's a Musar work. Why is he quoting from it in a halachic work? The answer is, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, is because Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the Shaarei Tshuva as a halachic compendium on Tshuva. So even though, again, much of the language will be written in the style of a Sefer Musar, but it's really a halachic work. And halacha is immutable. Halacha is unchanging. The basic principles that govern halacha are true throughout history. Right, the Torah will never be changed. It's one of the principles of the Rambam, the 13 principles of faith. The Torah is not going to be replaced. And therefore, this volume, which is so firmly rooted in halacha, has a certain ability to transcend time and to transcend any place. And therefore, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, this is the Musar book for all generations, for all people. Many tzaddikim were known to study the Shaarei Tshuva during this time of the year. In the Orchos Rabbeinu, in the third source, the Hanhagos, the practices of the Stipler Gaon, the Kilas Yaakov, it's recorded, Ra'isi es Marano Chazanish Zatzal. The Stipler writes, I saw by the Chazanish that he was Ma'ayin B'Sefer Shaarei Tshuva Mirabbeinu Yonah Zal B'Aseres Yimei Tshuva. That during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Chazanish, right, who, by our standards, who we could hardly imagine, what avera could the Chazanish have? And yet the Chazanish took away time from his intense, very rigorous Talmud schedule, a study of Gemara and Halacha, to delve into the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what the Chazanish would was his practice during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. V'chamaduma li shereisim mayin b'Shaarei Tshuva gam b'chol d'shelo. And the month that we're in now, this month preparing ourselves towards Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he says, I think I recall This is what's being recorded, again, in these biographical Torah works of the Stipler Gaon. I think I remember seeing the Chazon Ish would sit with this Sefer as well in the month of El. And the Stipler said, when the Chazon Ish told me, this is the book to be studying this time of the year, I took it upon myself as well to study this Sefer. So this is the Sefer Musar of Klal Yisrael. This is the Minhag Yisrael, so to speak, to study this Sefer this time of the year. You made it easy for me. No one asked me to give a shiur on any topic. I was asked to give a shiur on the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah. So I didn't have to work hard to pick. But again, it's the perfect choice. It really is, in many, many regards, the perfect choice. But I want to add just one disclaimer, because I feel it would be dishonest if I didn't. And that is, while this is certainly a Sefer that transcends time and transcends place, it's a Sefer of Musar for all of Klal Yisrael, I think we should be careful to point out, and this is my personal experience and my short career of teaching Torah, has led me to believe the following, and I'll quote from the words of Rav Avram Palm, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Torah Vadas, to back up my assertion, and that is that while the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah, again, are really for everyone, and it is the classic work of Musar, the language can at times be a little bit overwhelming. We're very weak. The Gemara points out, and we'll talk about it in the Mirtz Hashem in next week's shir, right, the fact that people don't know how to receive tochacha today. We don't like being rebuked. We don't like being told what to do. We don't respond well to language that is fiery, or language that really strikes really at the kishkas of a person. It makes us uncomfortable. And maybe that's a good thing when we want to undergo a tshuva process. But at the same time, Rav Palm felt that some of the early works of Musar are really not for our generation on some level. He writes in source number 4 in the Atara Lamelech, the writings of Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, the Rosh Yeshiva from Torah Vadas, HaTshuva HaMa'ula, Kefish Mitzuyeres B'Sharei Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. The highest levels of repentance, as described in the Sefer that we are studying, Vishar Sefer Yira, and the early works of awe, of Musar, He Alderech Soser Almanas Livnos. They demand of a person to rip himself apart in order to recreate oneself. To break yourself down, to pick yourself apart, to be very, very critical of the decisions that you have made, let's say over the past year, in this context, right? And then to be able to rebuild yourself from the rubble, so to speak, that you've created of your soul. To calculate in a precise way your place in the world, and to dissect every little thing that you did. Now for many of us, this is far too overwhelming. And what will happen, says Rav Palm, is that unfortunately, a person who takes such an approach will become depressed. Rav Palm writes where it's bolded, the Yakir Ki Umali Avon Karimon. When a person undergoes this process, he recognizes that everything I do in my life is essentially wrong, and I could do everything better, and there's nothing I do absolutely correct. And that's a very humbling feeling, and it can lead to depression. And Rav Palm says, Hinei Aderech Hazeh Hayatov L'Doros HaRishonim. That style of Musar is really not for our generation. It wasn't really intended for our generation. Oli Yechidei Segula B'Doreinu. It's really made for individuals who can handle such a language in our times. But those of us who are of much weaker build, those of us who are easy and very susceptible to yeyush, to giving up hope entirely, it causes a lot more damage than it does good. And therefore, says Rav Palm, if we really want to study a work that might be even more appropriate for our generation, we should study a different book by Rabbeinu Yonah. Another Sefer of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote another Sefer, another section of his writings called the Shari Avoda. And how does Rabbeinu Yonah begin the Shari Avoda? Rav Palm writes in the final three lines. He quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Avoda, which is a very different language. And again, I'm just expressing this to offer what I truly feel is in some ways best. Not to always pat ourselves on the back, but we need to speak a language of encouragement more than a language of criticism if we want to be successful in our times. I just think that's the metzias, that's the reality. Where Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Avoda, HaPesach HaRishon, Hu Sheyeda Isha Oved Erech Atzmo. If a person wants to be a good Jew, the first thing is to recognize not how bad you are, but in fact how great you are. V'yakir ma'alasu ma'alas avosu. Realize how great you are. Realize how great your parents are, your grandparents are. Trace yourself back to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. V'gdulasim v'chashivusim etzalah bori esparach. Think about how much Hashem loves you. It's a very different language. It's a much more contemporary language, certainly something that I'm attracted to in the writings of Sifrei Chassidus. So I want to just use this again as a disclaimer that while we delve into the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva, at times it's going to be, the language is going to be a little bit jarring. It might seem a bit strong. But again, it would be impossible for us to avoid the words of this great Rishon, which again, the Sefer was written for all of Klal Yisrael, and our hope is that we should learn it in a way that creates positive feelings within ourselves, and not, chas v'shalom, any feelings of despair. The Sefer Shari Tshuva, the Sha'ari Tshuva, the gates of repentance, is made up of four gates. I want to just outline very quickly, in source number 5, what the four gates are about. And my plan for the next 4 weeks is that each week we will select a theme from one of the gates, and to study it somewhat be'in, somewhat more in depth. But just to get an overview of what the entire Sefer is about, again, it's a very lengthy Sefer. There's only so much we can do in a couple of weeks. The Sha'ar Rishon, Rabbeinu Yonah, he puts a title on each of the sections. The first gate is described as Bir HaTshuva Vikara. The basic principles of tshuva, the concept of tshuva, how we know there is a concept of tshuva, what are the basic principles that are required of a person who wants to undergo the tshuva process. Shar Sheini, the second gate, Lahoros HaDrachim, Shis Ora Adam Behen Lashuv El Hashem. Not only the rules for doing tshuva, but what are some of the things that a person could think about, he describes in the second gate, that could bring a person to tshuva. What could cause a spiritual awakening that I would want to actually do the steps of tshuva? Shar HaShlishi, Nevar Chomer HaMitzvos VaAzhoros V'Chalukei HaNashim. Rabbeinu Yonah goes through, and this is the largest section, 231 paragraphs, where he goes through basically Kol HaTorah Kula, all of the mitzvos in the Torah, and he describes what the mitzvah is about, he describes the reward, he describes the potential punishment for violation of that mitzvah, that makes up the bulk of the Sefer. And lastly, the final gate, Shar Revi Chilukei HaKapara, the various degrees of tshuva necessary in accordance with the sin to receive a kapara, to receive a true atonement. So that's what we're going to do. Each week we'll pick one of the shar. Tonight we're going to start with the first shar. And I want to look at one of the opening comments of Rabbeinu Yonah in the first shar, in the Shar Rishon. Let's take a look together in source number 6. The first shar, again, Rabbeinu Yonah spells out the basic principles of tshuva. We're used to thinking that how does one do tshuva? What are the steps of tshuva? You have to abandon the sin. You have to express vidoy. You have to have charata. You have to be makabel that I'm not going to do this again in the future. Rabbeinu Yonah, interestingly enough, in the bulk of the first shar, spells out 20 principles, 20 ikarim, for a person to be involved with tshuva. Some of them are well known to us. Charata. You want to do tshuva, you have to have regret. If you don't have regret, you can't do tshuva. Right? Aziva sachet. Number 2, abandon the sin that you've been doing. These are the classic principles of tshuva. But there's other very interesting ones that he spells out. We're not going to focus on this tonight. Right? Vidui, again, that's a classic one. That's the 14th of the 20 principles that he brings. But for example, he says a person has to be worried. That's a step in tshuva. To be worried about your behavior, daiga. To have daga, to be worried about the sins that you've done, is a step, is a critical component of the mitzvah of tshuva. Or lahashiv rabim me'avam. He says the 20th step to tshuva is to make sure other people don't fall into the same negative behavior that you fell into. That's the bulk of the first gate that, again, we're going to draw from tonight. But I want to look at, again, the very opening of the Sefer, the opening words of the first shar. So let's take a look together in source number 6. Rabbeinu Yonah begins the Sefer as follows. Min ha-tovos asher heitiv Hashem Yisbarach imbruach. One of the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people. Ki heichin lahem ha-derech lalos mitoch pachas ma'aseyam. Rabbeinu Yonah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a derech, He gave us a pathway. It's called tshuva. And it's a way for a person la'alot to lift himself from the lowliness of his behavior. Ve'lanus mipach pishayim. And to run away from, again, the trap of one's sins. Lachsoch nafsho minei shachas, to get oneself out of the depths. Again, the language is very powerful. Describes a person in a very low place. And the truth is, even if we did one avera, in a sense, we're in a low place. Ulahashem alayim apo. And to remove Hashem's fiery anger that Hashem might feel towards the person who's done the avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, it's called tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear, He reminded us, He repeated it multiple times, that a person has this opportunity. He's reminding us to take advantage of the opportunity of tshuva, because unfortunately we do sin against Him. L'rov tuvo v'yashro. Hashem in His awesome kindness created this reality for us. Ki hu yada yitzram. Hashem knows we have a yitzhara. Hashem knows we're imperfect beings, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a way to return to Him. As it says in Tehillim, Tov v'yashar Hashem, al kein yorech atam baderech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, so He gave us a derech, a way to return to Him. Take a look at the next paragraph, where it's bolded. V'uzharnu al ha-tshuva b'kam makomos b'torah. We are informed about the mitzvah of tshuva many places in the Torah. V'yisbar ki ha-tshuva mikubeles gam ki yashuv ha-chote mirov tzarosa. Tshuva works even if you're doing tshuva just because you feel uncomfortable because of your sins. All the more so if you return to Hashem, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Kol shekeinim yashuv meyiras Hashem va'avasa. If I'm scared of being punished and I do tshuva, that's great, says Rabbeinu Yonah. If I have a higher level that I have an awe and respect for God, a spiritual awakening, that I realize I've been terrible to my Creator, that's even better. If I fall madly in love with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's an even higher level perhaps. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in Os Beis, continuing in the second paragraph, Vidda, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight. Ki achote kasher yisachar lishuv mechataso yichbar alav ma'od ansho b'chol yom. When a Jew does an Avera, and again, this is not just saying, it's also saying, take advantage of Elul, because Elul is a unique opportunity. Take advantage of Rosh Hashanah. Don't wait for Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah is a unique opportunity. Obviously, the earlier the better, but he's speaking all year round. When a person does an Avera, so what do you do the next day? What do you do an hour later? What do you do 1 minute later? Do I respond immediately to the mistake that I've made? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when a person delays doing tshuva from his sins, he places a heavy burden upon himself, he deepens and makes more severe the penalty b'chol yom with each passing day. Every day that you delay in coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes, so to speak, more frustrated with you. Ki hu yodeya ki yatza ketzef alav, because you know that Hashem is disappointed with you. You're disappointed with yourself. You defied the rule of the king. You went against the creator of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a place to flee, a safe haven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you somewhere to go, to save yourself. And that safe haven is called tshuva. And what do? How do we respond, unfortunately? But unfortunately, we're not motivated to necessarily come back to Hashem. We don't do anything to change right away. And we maintain our position of rebelliousness against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can turn it all around and you don't choose to take advantage of it. How foolish could a person be? And Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the fourth line of Os Beis, you see where it says in brackets, Koheles Rabbah. He quotes a famous medrash. This is maybe one of the more famous things that Rabbeinu Yonah brings in the entire Sefer. And he quotes the following mashal from the medrash in Koheles. Mashal lakatcha listim. Imagine a group of bandits, of robbers, who find themselves thrown into jail. Shechavoshem ha-melech ha-beis ha-surim. That the king has imprisoned them for their crimes. What happens? Some of the chavra figure out, we're going to break out of this place. We're going to find a way to dig a tunnel to escape. V'chasru machteras, and they dig, in fact, a tunnel to escape from jail. Partzu v'yavru v'nishar echad mehem. And let's imagine there were 10 bandits who were sitting in this prison cell. 9 of them flee through the tunnel, and one of them chooses not to flee. Ba'sar beis ha-sar. The next morning, the warden comes around, and he sees that one person remained. He didn't take advantage of the tunnel. V'ra machteras chatura. He sees the escape hatch has been dug. Maybe, I'm just thinking now, maybe it's not by chance. Right? In recent events in the news, there were a few major jailbreaks. Maybe that's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to us. We know that this world is only a mirror image of the spiritual world. And again, while that was a bad thing, obviously, and we're going to have to ask on this mashal, is it really so bad? Should we punish the one who remains behind? Look at the end of the mashal. Comes the sar beis ha-sar, comes the warden, and he sees that this person didn't take advantage of the tunnel, and he starts punishing him. V'yachas omateh, he starts beating him up. And he says, you fool, amar lo k'shei yom, you foolish individual. Halo amachteres chatur lefanecha. He turns to this hardened criminal, and again, we have to understand this mashal. The warden turns to this hardened criminal, and says, you had a way out, and you didn't take advantage of it. V'eich lo miharta himaleit al nafshecha. Why didn't you take advantage of it? Says the Medrash Koheles Rabbah, how foolish is a person? And Hashem said, I'm giving you an opportunity to change everything. And you're not interested in taking advantage of it. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in Os Gimel in the next paragraph, Lo yimatze ichor tshuva zulasi be'amei aretz. Only a simpleton, only a foolish person who's not thoughtful, is not thinking, is not mindful, would fail to take advantage of tshuva at the earliest opportunity. Asher heim yishenim shochvim. Only a person who's sleeping through life would fail to take advantage of such an opportunity. Lo yashivu el levavam, not to take it to heart. Lo ledas, lo tvun alehem. Lemar lihimalit al nafsham. Not to escape. If a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dangling a rope and saying, I'm willing to pull you out of mine shachas, from the depths of hell. I'm offering you a ticket out to undo everything. And you're taking your time, you're not sure, you're hemming and hawing, deciding, am I interested in taking the escape route? Am I not interested in taking the escape route? Only a foolish person would do such a thing. Rabbeinu Yonah in the seventh source, in the second shar, which again we'll focus on next week, offers a few additional reasons. I'm not going to read them inside for the sake of time right now. It's a little bit late. We'll daven Maariv at the end for those who are interested. But Rabbeinu Yonah in the seventh source outlines a few other reasons in the second shar why delaying tshuva is a terrible idea. And some of them are very obvious to us. Rabbeinu Yonah says, maybe you'll die and you'll never have a chance to do tshuva. Maybe you'll push it off and you'll push it off, and maybe you'll never have the opportunity to do tshuva. Maybe if you fail to do tshuva right away, your Yetzirah is going to continue to have the upper hand. So if you don't strike back right away, the Yetzirah thinks that you're very easily taken advantage of. Maybe over time you're going to forget what you did and never think to do tshuva. So all of these reasons and many more, Rabbeinu Yonah outlines many things. A person waits till the end of his life to do tshuva. And a person is old, he doesn't have the creativity necessarily, and the strength, the physical body strength, to put up a fight against the Yetzirah at that point. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, for a variety of reasons, take advantage of the gift of tshuva at the earliest opportunity possible. But I want to focus tonight on that mashal. The mashal of the criminals who have the opportunity to break out. Again, this is probably one of the most famous passages in all of Shaarei Teshuvah. Partially it's famous because it's right at the beginning. So every year Elul comes around and people open up Shaarei Teshuvah. You get a couple paragraphs in. And then you start next year from Elul from the beginning again. Right? But it's a very powerful mashal. And it's something that we need to think about. And I want to think about it in the context of the Rambam, who has a very puzzling statement. Before we get to the Rambam, if you take a look in source number 8, the Meshech Chachma. Now this is again a little bit frightening, so bear with me. In Parshas Netzavim, the Meshech Chachma makes the following insight. He says, you'll notice this past Shabbos, as we brought in Chodesh Elul, we read Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nasati lefneichem hayom, bracha uklala. Hashem offers us two paths in life. You can have a path of blessing, or Rachmanu Litzlan, God forbid, a path of klala, of curse. You get to Parshas Netzavim, and all of a sudden you find a very similar pasuk. Rav Meir Simcha Cohen of Dvinsk points out in the Meshech Chachma, he says, if you look in Nitzavim, when it says, ki ha-mitzvah azos, this mitzvah is very accessible to you, which is a reference to tshuva, he says, the pasuk in Nitzavim says, re'eh, again, see, same as this past week's parasha, nesati lefanecha ayom, es ha-chayim ve'es ha-maves. Es ha-chayim ve'es ha-maves. In Parshas re'eh, it was described as blessing and curse, bracha u'klala. In Parshas Nitzavim, all of a sudden the stakes have been raised quite a bit. All of a sudden it's no longer a life of blessing or a life that's somewhat cursed, but it's a matter of life and death. Re'ei, nasati lefanech hayom, es ha-chayim v'samaves. It's a life or death decision. What changed from Parshas Re'ei when it was bracha and klala to Parshas Nitzavim when it's been transformed into what? Chayim and maves. Says the Meshech Chachma where it's bolded in the third line. When does it talk about bracha uklala? If it's that kodem sha'amar mitzvah sa'tshuva. Before the Torah introduced us to the concept of tshuva, a person who chose to live a life that was imperfect, it was a bad choice, it was a klala, it was a cursed existence, but it wasn't a matter of life and death. It was still an option, so to speak. It was a bad option, but it was still an option. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, comes along Parshas Nitzavim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ultimate gift of tshuva. And now, once tshuva has been offered to you, it's no longer just a question of blessing and curse. It's a matter of life and death. You have the ticket to a great existence, or God forbid, something that could cost you your life if you fail to take advantage of it. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Kohen of Dvin, says the Meshech Chachma, once the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of tshuva, the stakes have been changed, where it's underlined. V'nishava mi bracha uklala chayim umavis. What was once blessing and curse has now been transformed to life and death. Ki im lo shav, if I don't take advantage of tshuva, once it's been offered, again, it's no longer just a slightly cursed existence. It's a question of putting one's life on the line. It's an extremely dangerous choice. When Hashem makes you such an offer, and you turn your back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha'ol yoser gadol, the responsibility is that much greater. V'zeh musar noro. Concludes the Meshech Chachma, this is a very, very intense mussar. How could we not take advantage of the gift of tshuva? Hashem is offering us an opportunity to change everything. Literally a life and death decision. And therefore it's not bracha and klal anymore. It's transformed to mavis and chai. Just how high are the stakes? I want to look at a piece from the Rambam like I mentioned a few moments ago. The Rambam describes something that most of us, at least the way the Rambam presents it, are going to have to face in the coming days. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuvah, the ninth source, that not only is a person judged at the end of his life, but a person is judged each and every year. That's what we all know, the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. What happens from that judgment, says the Rambam in the second line, Misha Nimtza Tzadik, if Hashem looks at you, and we have to define these terms, a lot has been written about this Rambam, a person who is found to be a Tzadik, Nechtam L'chaim, automatically he is sealed for life, Misha Nimtza Rasha, A person who's terribly wicked, nechtam lemisa. There's an obvious question on this. We see very righteous people who don't live. We see many Rishaim who get year after year after year. So there's a lot of questions we need to resolve in the Rambam. But we'll take it at face value for now. V'abeinoni, and a person who's somewhere in the middle, and the Rambam assumes that most of us are in that middle category. Let's assume the Rambam understands Beinoni as someone who's exactly 50-50, which again is also seemingly unfathomable. I have exactly a precise balance of mitzvos and averos. What are the odds that that's the case? But says the Rambam, HaBeinoni tolin oso ad Yom Kippur. If you're exactly 50-50 on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you 10 days to figure out which way you're going to tip the scales. The Beinoni hangs in the balance until Yom Kippur. Says the Rambam where it's underlined, look carefully. Im asa tshuva, if you do tshuva during the Aseres, you made tshuva, so nechtam l'chayim. Then Hashem seals you for life. V'im lav, if you don't do tshuva, nechtam l'misa. You'll be sealed, chas v'shalom, in the book of Misa. What's the problem with this Rambam? What's the very obvious problem with the Beinoni scenario? This person is 50-50. Says the Rambam, what does he need to do to be zocha b'din? To be successful, im asa tshuva, if he does tshuva, great. If he doesn't do tshuva, then he's finished. What's the problem with the Rambam? Is there, what's the problem with the Rambam?
He's still 50-50. What do you want?
Oh, he's still 50-50, exactly. Says the Lecha Mishnah. Let's say he sleeps away the Aseres Mitzvah. He does nothing. No Averos, no Mitzvahs. I still say that. Sleeping away is, he didn't put on tefillin, he didn't do that. Okay, but let's assume, right, that somehow he could remain neutral. Let's say he still stays 50-50. So what should happen? Well, Hashem in His ultimate kindness should tip the scales in favor of life. Says the Lecha Mishnah on the Rambam in source number 10, V'im tomar, v'chilo asa tshuva amai nechtam l'misa. If his position is unchanged, if he remains a Beinoni, so why does the Rambam assume that that's the end of him? He doesn't do tshuva, he's finished. Ha'havi mechza mechza, v'rav chesed mate klape chesed. Shouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being one who is interested in doing chesed, shouldn't he tip the scales in his favor? If he chose not to make a move during the 10 days of repentance. His failure to do tshuva is itself an avera, so that tips the scales. That's an avera. So he's off by one, now he tips the scales in a negative direction. So have we solved the problem? Not really. Because why can't he do other mitzvahs? Why can't he just do one other mitzvah and tip the scales? Why does the Rambam say, only if he does tshuva is he nechtam l'chayim? If he doesn't do tshuva, let's say he learns Torah a lot during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Let's say he davens with a lot of kavanah and does a lot of chesed, gives a lot of tzedakah. Says the Rambam, no, if he didn't do tshuva, he's not going to win. What's the pshat? Why should that be? Why should it be that any mitzvah should be able to tip the scales? And the truth is, the Rambam doesn't seem to align with the Gemara. The Gemara that the Rambam is basing himself on, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in source number 11, says that there are three books open on Rosh Hashanah. A Tzaddik book, a Rasha book, and a Beinoni book. The Beinonim are left hanging, says the Gemara, Zachu, if they do something positive, so then they're sealed for Chaim. And if they don't do something positive, then they're sealed for Misa. Why does the Rambam say that you have to do tshuva during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva if you want to tip the scales? Why can't I just earn a lot of credit by doing other mitzvos? Why can't I learn a lot and give a lot of tzedakah and do a lot of chesed? There are so many other ways one could seemingly tip the scales. Why does the Rambam emphasize, im asa tshuva good, if not, not? This is a question that was addressed by the great Talmud of Rav Yisrael Salanter, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, Rav Itzla Pederberger as he was known, in his Sefer Kol Chaveir. And he says as follows. He says in source number 12 as follows. He says, I don't understand this Rambam. Why should it be that you need to do tshuva in order to tip the scales? And he writes as follows. He says where it's bolded. This is a very strange thing. Because the Beinoni, Darei Beinoni, who Misha Maisav Shekul and Mechza Zechuyos and Mechza Avonos. This person is exactly 50-50. So seemingly there are many ways to tip the scales. Nimtza ki ein chasulo rak mitzvah achas la'achriya kafa zechuyos alavonos. Any one mitzvah should tip the scales in his favor. So what is he waiting for? And the truth is, he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin that says that a person should live his life seeing himself as exactly 50-50, and the Gemara says, asa mitzvah achas, if you do one mitzvah, that tips the scale in your favor. So why does the Rambam emphasize tshuva? Says Rav Itzla Pederberger, says Rav Yitzchak Blazer, about five lines from the end where it's underlined. He writes as follows. The opportunity of tshuva is so significant. Listen to what he says. And it really hits home with what Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to tell us. The opportunity to do tshuva is such a great opportunity that if you fail to take advantage of it, it doesn't matter what else you do. You can do everything else right. But if Hashem gives you such an offer and you don't take advantage of it, that's the greatest slap in the face. So you can learn all you want. You can be so careful not to do any of it, not to speak Lashon Hara. You can make brachos with kavana. You can do everything else right. But if you're not willing to take advantage of this gift that's being offered to us, nothing else can tip the scales. That's what the Rambam is saying. As kvar higia chovas atshuva, says Ritzel Pederberger, it's underlined it. When the chiyuv of tshuva arrives, the unique chiyuv, tshuva is all year round, but when the unique chiyuv of tshuva arrives during these days, the unique obligation, the mitzvah saseh shel lifnei Hashem titaru, the opportunity for complete spiritual cleansing, nimsa kimi shelo shav b'tshuva gam b'yom hazeh v'yom ha-kippurim. If you wait, if Yom Kippur comes and you still didn't do tshuva, you could be saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you could be doing those things. If you don't, if you're too afraid, too ashamed of your past mistakes to take advantage of tshuva, asher uzman tshuva lakol, when Hashem offers tshuva for all, the Kates Mechila Veslichal Yisrael, this is the last chance Yom Kippur is coming to an end, and you're still avoiding that confrontation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Itzel Pederberger, where it's underlined, Hine menias ha-tshuva bilvad, the refusal to do tshuva alone, biyom ha-kadosh hazeh, hu avon gadol v'nora ma'od, nosaf al-kol chatav. That is going to finish you off. Because how could you walk away from such an offer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a person? Hashem is saying, I'm giving you a way to clean yourself entirely. Don't avoid it. Don't think it's just giving an extra check to tzedakah or having a little more kavana during Shemona Esrei. Let's have that encounter. Let's work through the mistakes of the past and try to really learn something from them. And avoiding that encounter is the most horrible thing that a person could do. And could be the most destructive decision that a person can make during these days. And that's exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying in this medrash. When you had a way to escape, and he was showing he was obedient. This criminal chose not to escape, but he's punished for it. Because Hashem says, I wasn't just looking for obedience in general. I'm giving you a unique opportunity that I want you to take advantage of. And failure to do so is the greatest mistake. Don't squander the opportunity of tshuva. Let's think about the mashal a little bit more. Because again, it doesn't exactly make sense. Why would the warden punish this individual? Let's put it into real terms. Into real terms. There's a jailbreak. And two out of the three people in the cell escape. Right? Like those two criminals who escaped to New York. Imagine there was a third fellow with them. And he chose to remain behind. He knew the other two were escaping and he stayed behind. So are they going to punish him more? If anything, maybe it's a sign of remorse. What's the logic behind punishing the one who remained behind? Again, we're short on time. I'll share with you outside. It comes from the Yad HaKatan on the Rambam. In the Yad HaKatan on the Rambam, he gives a beautiful answer. And he says as follows. Let me offer the following mashal to make it more clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift. Imagine a king comes and he offers a person a gift. And he says, I have this gift. It's a wonderful tool. I want you to use it. It can help you so many ways in your life. And you take this item, whatever it may be, this gadget, right? And you start to use it in all the wrong ways. Instead of using it in the way it's meant to be used, you start to play around with it. You're not careful with it. You knock it off the table. It falls on the floor. It cracks. It breaks. Right? Whatever this object was, you use it in a way that's totally not becoming for this particular object. And the king is passing by that town at some point later, and he stops by to see how you're enjoying his gift. And he walks in and he sees the thing is in a corner and it's cracked and it's gathering dust. And the king says, I'm so disappointed. I told you this was a special gift I gave you. The king says, listen, I have a tool that can fix this gift. I'm going to offer you the tool. You obviously learned from your mistake. You didn't take advantage of the present I gave you. I'm going to give you another present. And this present will give you the ability to fix the original thing. And you'll be able to use it properly. So you take the tool. Now imagine if you take that tool and you use it to break the first thing even further. Can you imagine what a slap in the face it is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. Hashem says, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, torasi al tazov. I'm giving you a magnificent tool that can do all sorts of wondrous things in this world. And we take it and we stomp on it and we throw it around and we treat it very poorly. And then the king comes again and he says, I'm going to give you a tool to fix the original gift. And we decide not to take advantage of it. We decide to allow it to sit in the corner. We show that we haven't learned anything. That's the slap in the face. Says the Yad HaKatan on the Rambam. Why is this individual, in Rabbeinu Yonah's Mashal, in the Medrash in Koheles, why is the individual who remains in the jail when he has an opportunity to escape going to be severely punished? Because he shows that nothing really matters to him. It wasn't really a punishment for him to be sitting in that jail. He didn't feel he did anything wrong. He says, you know what, it's actually not so bad in jail. I get meals three times a day. Rachmana Litzlan, unfortunately, there are jails today where there are Jewish people sitting. They have a minyan. They have a daf yomi shir. He says, not so bad here. It's really not so bad in this jail cell. The fact that you didn't try to escape means that you don't even see it as a punishment. Which means you don't even really process the fact that you've done anything wrong yet. And therefore, your failure to escape, to take advantage of that pathway, of that escape tunnel underneath the jail cell, shows a total disregard for everything the king stands for. You're not impressed by the offers he makes you. You don't feel bad about the injustices that you've done. Nothing resonates with you. And again, to be a person who doesn't respond at all, to be a person who doesn't take advantage, who's just not sensitive, is not thinking, is not aware of the offer that Hashem made, the initial offer of giving us the Torah, and the further offer of tshuva to fix the things that we broke with his precious toy along the way. Hey, Luli Saras Lashashua, the Torah is a toy, he wants us to enjoy it. And we throw it around, we mistreat it. Hashem gives you a tool to fix it, and you further mistreat it. You break it further. It shows a total disregard, a total lack of understanding of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, and the things that he wants to offer us. And therefore, this person has shown that he's learned nothing from his criminal behavior. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the warden comes and he beats up this individual and says, you don't get it yet. You're not aware of what's going on. You don't realize for positive or for negative what's happening around you. And you need the most severe wake-up call of all. So this is an explanation of the Rambam based on the Koch Vayor, a little bit of a deepening of Rabbeinu Yonah's Mashal from the Yad HaKatan on the Rambam. And the Shem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sokachov, really puts it all together in Source 14. The Shem Yishmuel in his writings on Rosh Hashanah says that we know that one of the great things historically that took place on Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Hashanah, it's a fascinating idea. Rosh Hashanah was the day that Yosef HaTzadik got out of jail. It was the day that someone who was accused wrongly, and that's something also for us to think about, because all the mistakes, all the avirus we do is not really who we are. It's ki'ilu, we're like Yosef HaTzadik who ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it's not really who we are. Rosh Hashanah was the day that Yosef left the Beis HaSura. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmuel in Source 14, says the Rebbe of Sokachov, every year on Rosh Hashanah, there's a possibility of a Jew, so to speak, to free himself from his jail cell. Whatever it is that's holding us back in life, whatever area of our Avodas Hashem that we fail to take advantage of, it's an opportunity to set ourselves free. And says the Shem Yishmuel, four lines in where it's bolded, V'chol ish Yisrael biyado uvirshuso lasos tshuva. Every single individual has the opportunity to do tshuva. He quotes our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah about tzaddikim and rasham and beinonim. And he says as follows, Ula aniska le'el yuvan. Based on what we've explained, this idea of the jailbreak, we can explain as follows. Sha'ad ko mashalo asa tshuva lo haiso leinu kushya kol kach. The fact that you didn't do tshuva until now, the fact that you were enslaved to your Yetzirah all year round, that's just the way it is, and Hashem knows that. But on Rosh Hashanah was the day that Yosef got out of jail. And every single Jew is connected to Yosef HaTzadik. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, B'nei Yaakov v'Yosef Selah. We're all called the descendants of Yosef. We all have the ability to take advantage of that freeing of Yosef that takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Shereiach tzat onus b'davar. Until now we've been held against our will. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm digging a tunnel for you. I'm offering you a way out. But when Yosef, when our great ancestor left jail on Rosh Hashanah, and now we have the opportunity, we don't take advantage of that, then Hashem starts to really ask the questions on us. How could it be that you didn't take advantage of tshuva? Rav Arla Roth, Rav Arla and his Shomer Amunim, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes of more recent times. Rav Arla did not come from Hasidic stock, he didn't come from Rabbinic stock. And he became a great, told us Aaron Hasidim, Rav Arla. He brings a story in his writings, the Shomer Amunim, it's in Source 15, I'll tell you the story outside. He tells a story about Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, one of the most beloved of all of the Hasidic Rebbes. The story is also brought about Rav Aaron of Karlin, the exact same story, one of the Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezrich. Again, early Hasidic Rebbes. The following story. Rav Levi Yitzchak, one year on Rosh Hashanah, was walking up on Rosh Hashanah. He was the Chazan. And he was walking up for Shachris. Now we know that as the Chazan approaches the Amud, right, as he's walking up, he already cries out, HaMelech. He calls out, HaMelech. This is the day in which we're going to coronate the king. Rav Levi Yitzchak was on his way to lead the Shachris service on Rosh Hashanah. And he cries out, HaMelech, and he faints. And they revived him. And they said to the Berditchever, they said, what happened? He said, as I said the word HaMelech, all of a sudden, a Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Nun Vav and Aleph, popped into my head. What was the Gemara? The Gemara describes, it's a Gemara that we think about in the context of the 3 weeks. The Gemara that describes in the Chorban of Yerushalayim, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes to negotiate a little bit with Aspianus Kesar, and he says to him, you're going to become a king. And he says, I'm not a king. He says, I'm telling you, I predict that you're going to become a king. To which the Caesar responds to him, Imalka ana, if I'm a king, if you hold me in such high regard, if you predict that I'm going to be a very powerful leader and ruler, adha'inna amailo osis ligabai, if you really hold me to be a king, so where have you been until now? That's what Aspicianus says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Viverditchev, as I was walking up on Shachris, on Rosh Hashanah, and I cried out, HaMelech, Hashem, you are the king, you are the Melech Malchei Amlachim, all of a sudden I thought to myself, this Gemara in Gittin, if I'm really the Melech that Hashem, so to speak, has a claim against us, if you really believe that I'm the king, so where have you been until now? Where have you been the last year? All of a sudden, now I'm the Melech. All of a sudden, now you recognize how great I am. Rav Levi Yitzchak Viverditchev said, when I thought about that Gemara, I collapsed, I fainted. I couldn't face a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But this explains a very fascinating thing that we ask of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And again, as we transition out of the 3 weeks into Chodesh Elul, it's something that we think about a lot. Every time you do tshuva, it's a fascinating point made by the Aruga Sabosim in the second to last source. The Aruga Sabosim, the Rebbe of Chus, Rav Moshe Greenwald, he points out in his writings in Kisavo, every time you do tshuva, in a sense you're getting yourself in trouble. Because every time you do tshuva, Hashem says, oh, now all of a sudden, you're ready to get serious. And where were you until now? Every time you do a mitzvah better, every time you start to daven Shemona Esrei with more kavana, every time you make a bracha with more thoughtfulness, so Hashem says, and oh, so now I see that you know how to make a bracha with kavana, so where have you been until now? And it's a very funny reality that it takes place in the heavens every time you try to be better. You're sort of causing a kitruk. You're causing a certain negative awakening to take place. That Hashem says to you, if I'm really a melech, like Aspicianus said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if I'm really a melech, where have you been until now? But says the Aruga Sabosem, that's part of what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Eicha. As we try to put away Eicha and all of our tzaras, what do we say? What's the pasuk at the end of Eicha? Hashiveinu, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return us to you. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva, chadesh yameinu kekedem. Says the Aruga Sabosem in Source 16, what are we davening? What does it mean when we say chadesh yameinu kekedem? Renew our relationship with you kekedem, like something old? It's a way of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true. I know I showed up a little bit late. And I know I probably should have showed up a little bit earlier. And the earlier I would have showed up, the better. Hashem, you're going to accept me either way, as he goes on to explain in his writings. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do me a favor. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. Treat it as if I showed up really when I was supposed to show up. Chadesh yameinu kekedem. Renew it to the point, even though I showed up late, make it as if I was here kekedem, as if I was early to davening, as opposed to late to davening. Make it as if I did tshuva the second I did the Avera. Not that I waited till Elul or Shoshana or the last minute of the Ilan Yom Kippur to actually do that tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachmanas on us. And again, it all goes back to what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. The sooner you come, the sooner you present yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more comfortable you should be able to feel to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu yameinu kekedem. Hashem, make it as if I came early, because I did come early. And I took advantage of it as soon as I could. I didn't wait till that final moment of the Ilah to start to wake up and to realize I have an opportunity that's being offered to me. I want to conclude tonight with one story from Rav Tzadok Kohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadok told the following story. And it shows how important it is for a person to always be looking and listening for opportunities to learn a message from the world. Rav Tzadok was walking one time, and he overheard a pauper speaking to his son. Clearly, the way they were dressed, it was clear they were very poor individuals. And this pauper turns to his son, and he says, look, there's a coin lying on the floor. Bend down and pick up the coin. And the son says, I can't. I'm too tired, I'm too weary, I'm too hungry. I can't even bend down to pick up the coin. He says, pick up the coin, we'll buy something to eat. I can't, I'm too tired to pick up the coin. Alright? So the father bends down and he picks up the coin. And he goes to the marketplace and he buys 13 apples with that coin. And he comes to his son and he says, nope, I picked up the coin. See, I told him we could get something to eat. He would have, just pick up the coin. He says to his son, here, take an apple. So the son says, I don't feel I deserve an apple. I was being lazy, I wasn't right what I did. Father, you should eat the apples. He says, no, I want you to have an apple. He says, no, I don't feel right. I don't feel comfortable taking an apple. So the father's trying to figure out, how am I going to get my son to take an apple? So he says, you know what? I'm going to run ahead. Catch up with me in a few minutes. The father runs ahead. And as he goes ahead, every few feet, he drops one of the apples. And then another few feet, he drops another apple. All of a sudden, the son, this little child, coming along, and he sees an apple lying in the mud. And he picks up the apple, and he says, oh, it's just my luck, I'm so hungry. He picks up the apple, he washes it off. Right? He was embarrassed to take the apple from his father, but to find a free apple, a half-gra apple lying on the floor, he wasn't embarrassed to take. He picks up one apple, he goes another couple feet, picks up another apple, picks up another apple, picks up another apple. And by the time he's done, he picks up 13 apples. And by the time he meets up with his father, he realizes, starts to realize what happened. And his father says to him, if you would have just bent down once at the beginning, you wouldn't have had to bend down those other 13 times to dust off those apples. Says Rav Tzaddik, he said, I learned such a profound lesson in Musar, in Tshuva that day, that if I would just take advantage at the earliest opportunity, I wouldn't have to scramble at the end to try to put all the pieces together. If I would just make the right choice in the beginning, like Rabbeinu Yonah said, to take advantage of Tshuva at the earliest opportunity, so then I'm not going to have to trouble myself with those feelings of being nervous at Ni'ilah. I'll be able to understand the Ni'ilah the way that Rav Shlomo Karbach described it. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is locking you out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is locking you in. That already I feel comfortable, I feel like I've done my part. I took advantage of these days. I didn't squander the opportunity. Like the Rambam told us, if you do tshuva, that's the ticket. Anything else is not going to be able to save you. So Mir Tashem, we should take advantage of these days. To wake ourselves up early. It's early in Elul. We have plenty of time still. To take advantage of these days, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really what the shofar is trying to awaken us to. In the final source, the Torah of Ram, we have Avram Grudzinski, who is the Mashkiach Ruchani, in Slobodka Yeshiva. He lost his life sort of at the hands of the Nazis. He suffered terribly during the war. He wasn't actually killed by the Nazis, but very difficult story. He writes about it. It's printed at the beginning of the Torah Savram, his Musar lectures. It's a very beautiful volume. He has a Maimer Shofar Shal Elo. And he speaks about the wake-up call of the shofar. And he says something that I think resonates with us in a deep way. Because we don't faint when we hear the shofar. We don't have the same Yiras HaChet or Yiras HaOnesh that the earlier ones had. But he says, you know what the shofar at the very least can do for us? He says in the final source, at least the shofar should wake us up to realize that there's a great gift that's being given to us. Don't lose out on that. The fear we should have during these days is not so much to be frightened about the averis we did in the past. It doesn't resonate with us the way that earlier tzaddikim had such a feeling of a yiras hachet, of a yiras haonesh. But we should be scared to fail to take advantage of such an offer that Hashem has offered us. At the very least, the Chodesh Elul Shofar should awaken us to realize we have an opportunity. Don't blow that opportunity. So Amir Tashem, we should all be Zocha. We should choose the path of Bracha. We should choose the path of Chaim. And Amir Tashem, it's high stakes, like the Rambam is telling us. But Amir Tashem, if we take advantage of it, by doing so, Amir Tashem will all be Zocha to Chsiva v'Chsimato.